Welcome back to the deep dive. Today is a little strange for us, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Usually we're dissecting a book or, you know, a white paper from some external think tank.
Or a tech giant.
Exactly. But today, we're kind of looking in the mirror.
We are. We're flipping the script and doing a deep dive on our own home base, V Technologies. And honestly, it's about time.
It is. You know, I was at a dinner party last week, and someone asked that dreaded question. So what does your company actually do?
Oh, no.
And I just froze.
Yeah.
Because how do you explain that we design the HVAC systems for skyscrapers, but then we also engineer fire trucks, audit international freight, and animate video game characters?
It sounds like a riddle, right? Boring. Or like four different companies in a trench coat. But when you actually work here, when you see the projects, you realize there is a method to it. It's not random at all.
And that's really the mission for today. We want to pull back the curtain on V Technologies from our perspective, you know, as employees, and explain how this integrated expertise thing actually works. We've got a stack of our own case studies and insight papers right here.
And we're not just going to list services. We need to unpack the actual engineering and the intellect required to pull all this off.
Right.
Because whether it's the physical world, the buildings and machines, or the digital backbone with AI and logistics, the common thread is what we call extraordinary expertise.
It's a bold claim.
But
looking at our own material here, the evidence is there. So we're going to break this down into three pillars: the physical, the digital, and the cultural.
Okay.
And I want to start with the physical because that's where the scale of our work is just it's so visible. I was looking through the files on that massive office building project in the USA.
Oh, the 410,000 square footer?
That's the one. The AEC team delivered it recently.
That project is a perfect example of why standard engineering just doesn't cut it anymore.
Right. So just looking at the specs, it's a B plus G plus 9 structure, basement ground plus 9 floors.
Yep.
But the kicker isn't the height. It's the geometry. The architects went with these varying oval-shaped floor plates.
Which, you know, looks beautiful from the street.
Totally.
But it is an absolute nightmare for the mechanical engineers.
That was my first thought. I remember seeing the initial layouts.
Yeah.
You're trying to run rigid HVAC ducting, fire safety pipes, all of that through a building that just refuses to be straight.
Exactly. In a normal rectangular building, you have predictable corridors for your utilities.
Sure.
In an oval building with shifting floor plates, those corridors move on every single floor. If you try to design that in 2D, you are guaranteed to have clashes.
So you get to the site, try to install a main air trunk, and realize a steel beam is running right through the middle of it.
Every time. And that's where our investment in VDC virtual design and construction really paid off. The team didn't just draw it. They used the Evolve-V platform.
Evolve-V is so crucial here.
It is. It's an AI-powered platform that automates all the fabrication drawings. It essentially runs millions of calculations to route all those ducts and vessels through the geometry problem of that oval shape.
So it's like a GPS for plumbing.
That's a great way to put it. It predicts the collisions before they happen.
Which means by the time the contractors are on site, they're not guessing anymore. They're just installing prefabricated pieces that they know will fit.
Precisely. And that precision allowed for some really heavy-duty infrastructure. I was looking at the basement specs level B1. They didn't just use standard ventilation.
No, they installed jet fans.
Right, for smoke extraction.
Jet fans are fascinating. They don't just suck air out. They use high-velocity thrust to literally push the smoke toward the extraction point.
It's all fluid dynamics in action. It's essential for a basement that big, especially with parking.
And then you go up to level 4, the IT hub.
Where you have server rooms that are just giant heaters running 24/7.
You can't cool that with standard AC.
No way. Oh. The report notes they installed CRAC units.
Computer room air conditioning.
Exactly. These systems monitor humidity and temperature with just extreme precision. If those go down, the client's whole data center basically cooks itself.
It really highlights the stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the kitchen hood systems on the F&B levels to the auditorium acoustics, our teams are engineering the entire environment people live and work in.
And it's not just commercial. We're doing high-rise residential in Georgia data centers. The diversity in AEC alone is massive.
It really is. But, okay, let's pivot. Because static buildings are one thing.
Right.
Engineering things that move at high speeds under a lot of stress, that's a different ballgame.
You're talking about the product engineering division.
I am. And specifically, the heavy machinery. We work with a leading manufacturer of fire trucks.
I've always loved this part of our portfolio. I mean, it's one thing to design a consumer gadget.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing to design a vehicle that has to work when lives are on the line.
The liability and the precision required there are just off the charts. We provide comprehensive design solutions for them.
But it's not just the emergency sector. We're also really deep into the residential and commercial lawnmower market, oil and gas equipment.
And BLDC Motor Solutions. I want
Yeah.
to pause on that for a second.
Okay.
BLDC, brushless DC motors, that's a huge shift in the industry right now. It's all about getting better efficiency and longevity.
It is, and it actually ties into a philosophy I found in our insights papers that I think defines our whole engineering approach. It's this concept of the voiceless stakeholder.
I read that paper.
Yeah.
It really stopped me in my tracks.
Right.
Because usually when you talk about a stakeholder, you mean the client or the end user, the person paying the bill.
But our teams are pushing to design for the voiceless stakeholder. And that's the environment, that's future generations, that's the neighbor dealing with the noise pollution from the product.
So when we design a lawnmower or an oil rig component, we're not just asking, does it cut grass or does it pump oil?
We're asking, what's the carbon footprint of the manufacturing process? How recyclable are the materials? What's the noise impact on local wildlife? I mean, it changes the entire design process. It moves engineering from just functionality to stewardship.
And to execute on that, we're using some pretty advanced tech. The report mentions additive manufacturing, AM.
Yes. And we aren't just talking about, 3D printing a little plastic toy.
Yeah.
This is beyond prototyping. We are looking at additive manufacturing for actual production parts. It reduces so much waste because you're only using the material you need.
Which brings up the automation angle. There's always this fear that automation kills creativity, but I saw a great point in our internal literature.
Let me guess. Is automation in CAD a hindrance or an opportunity?
That's the one.
And for us, it's clearly an opportunity. If we can automate the repetitive drafting tasks, all the clutter, it frees up our engineers to think about the really complex problems.
Like the voiceless stakeholder or the aerodynamics of a fire truck?
It effectively upgrades the engineer from a drafter to a true designer.
Exactly. And that whole philosophy, using machines for the grunt work so humans can do the brain work, is the perfect bridge to our next pillar, the digital backbone.
This is the invisible engine of V technologies.
It really is. We've talked about buildings and trucks, things you can touch, but the scale of our IT and logistics operations is just mind-bending, and it's driven by what the team calls the silent AI revolution.
It's silent because it works in the background. We aren't just building chatbots. We're deploying natural language processing, image processing, and deep learning deep inside business operations.
And the term that keeps coming up everywhere is hyperautomation.
Which sounds intense, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like automation on five energy drinks.
Well, it's actually very disciplined. Hyperautomation is the combination of standard AI with RPA robotic process automation.
Okay.
So RPA is great for simple if this then that tasks. But when you add AI, the system can actually read and understand unstructured data. And nowhere is that more critical than in our logistics division.
Ooh, logistics. I feel like this department is the unsung hero of the global economy. I was chatting with the team in the freight audit section. The sheer volume of data they handle is just terrifying.
It is. People think logistics is just a truck goes from A to B.
Right.
But to make that happen, you have freight audit and payment portals, airway bill processing, customs discharge lists. It's a paper trail that circles the entire globe.
And if you get one digit wrong on a customs list, that truck sits at the border for 3 days.
Exactly. Which is why we implemented that EDI electronic data interchange service for one of our major clients.
Walk us through that, because EDI sounds dry, but in practice, it's the nervous system of the supply chain.
It is. So the client had all these disjointed systems. The warehouse computer didn't speak the same language as the shipping computer.
Oh.
Our team came in and built a custom EDI implementation that bridged those gaps. The case study actually calls it a flawless implementation.
Which in the IT world is basically a miracle.
It is. But the result wasn't just, hey, it works now. It led to direct financial gains. Fewer errors meant faster payments, better cash flow, and zero compliance fines. We literally greased the gears of their whole operation.
And speaking of data flow, we also have to touch on media monitoring. Because data isn't just numbers on a bill of lading, it's public opinion.
Right. We track everything: print, online, electronic, social media. The report mentions helping clients navigate a product crisis storm.
That is the absolute worst-case scenario for any brand.
It is. I mean, imagine a defect is discovered in a product. Twitter explodes. The news picks it up. Our market and competitive intelligence teams act as the radar.
So we spot the storm forming.
We spot it, we analyze the sentiment, and we give the client the intelligence they need to respond before it becomes a hurricane.
It's just amazing to think about. In one wing of the building, we're designing the product. In another, we're managing the logistics to ship it. And in a third, we're monitoring the internet to see if people even like it.
That is the definition of integrated expertise. But, and I think this is the most important part, none of this happens without the V-Way. We've talked about the what and the how, but we really need to talk about the who.
The culture. You know, I was reading through our leadership philosophy documents, and there's a heavy, heavy emphasis on leadership versus management.
What's the distinction we make there?
Well, management is about maintaining systems. Leadership is about navigating change. And the core skill we prioritize isn't coding ability or engineering calculus. It's emotional intelligence, EQ.
That's so interesting. You don't often hear an engineering-heavy company put EQ at the very top of the list.
But think about it. We just talked about product crisis storms and oval building clashes.
Right.
These are high-stress, high-stakes situations. If our leaders can't understand the human element, the client's panic, the team's stress, the project fails. The document actually calls EQ the key to transformative leadership.
It's the human intelligence behind the artificial intelligence. Exactly. And that human element is incredibly diverse. We have roots in educational institutions and these massive e-governance projects like UIDAI identity management and smart meter installations. We're embedded in the societal infrastructure.
And we're also allowed to be creative. We can't finish this tour without mentioning the animation studio.
Ah, the fun department.
The engineers might resent that, but yes, we do 2D and 3D animation, VFX, and even game development.
But here's the cool connection. The skill set for 3D animation modeling, rigging, physics engines is the creative cousin of the skill set we use in VDC for buildings.
That's a great point. It's the same technology, just applied differently. One builds a skyscraper, the other builds a virtual world for AR, VR, and MFR.
And mixed reality is actually where those two worlds collide. We're seeing more applications where that gaming tech is used to train the engineering staff. It all feeds back into itself.
So let's wrap this up. We've covered a lot of ground, from jet fans in a U.S. basement to the cloud-based AI auditing freight bills.
We have. And I think if there is one takeaway for anyone listening, whether you're a client, potential recruit, or just someone curious, it's this. Specialization is good, but integration is better.
Meaning that having all these different kinds of brains under one roof makes all of us smarter?
100%. Because our software developers understand logistics, they build better code. Because our architects understand mechanical engineering, they design better buildings. That cross-pollination is the secret sauce of V technologies.
It's the one V philosophy.
It is. And here's a thought to leave you with. We are sprinting toward a future dominated by AI. We see it every day with Evol VE and hyperautomation. The machines are getting very, very good at the what and the how.
They can route the ducks and audit the bills.
Right. So the value of the human, our value, shifts to the why. Why do we build this? How does it affect the voiceless stakeholder? How do we lead our teams through a crisis? As employees here, that is our new frontier. We're becoming the architects of intent while the AI becomes the builder of reality.
That is a massive thought to end on. From the blueprint to the code and everything in between. Thanks for joining us for this insider look at V Technologies.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.